Genesis, and as you're turning to Genesis chapter 6, I want to ask, since it's Father's Day, I want to ask a question of every single father that's in the fellowship. Dad, would you say that you're a type of father that can protect and do protect your family from danger? You know, it's wonderful to have children. It's wonderful to, see our children grow up from infancy to those childhood years, young adult, then become an adult, and then become the person that God intended for them to be. But I want to ask you, and it's an important question, especially in the culture and time that you and I live in. Are you the type of dad that your family looks to you and you know you save them from danger, disaster, and all sorts of problems just because of your walk with God? I want you to turn back to an Old Testament figure because there is so much in his life that we can learn from. You know his name. It's a very familiar name. All of us probably have known it since our childhood. We're going to look this morning at the life of Noah. Genesis chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. And there's so much to cover, but we're going to look primarily at those verses because you and I know what the times were in Noah's time. The Bible says that in the world he was living, it was a world of rampant wickedness. There was nothing that men wanted to do that was right before God. Can you imagine that culture? We're growing, going back to that culture. You know that. Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. And so that means there's more challenges in the home. There's more challenges to you, Dad, as a man. There's more challenges for you to stand in a culture where everything is believable, everything is permissible, everything is okay to do. Whatever feels good, a lot of times in our culture, you know, that's just go ahead and do that if it feels good. But I want you to look in Genesis chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. Genesis 6, 1 through 8. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. And they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his day shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every man, that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man, whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and all the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now, if you can use your spiritual imagination for just a moment, try to get an idea of the climate of the time. The Bible says that every man, all that he wanted to think about was evil continually. The mind of mankind was absolutely perverted. God had set in motion a plan to destroy the entire earth. And you know how he did it. He did it by flood. But when you look at verse 8, the Bible records these simple yet profound words about one man, one dad, and what he was like. The Bible says Noah found grace in the sight of the Lord. Now, if you get that picture, you get an understanding that, and as we deal with this morning, I want you to understand first and foremost, God don't make anybody be a certain way. Every one of us and every man has always had choice. God doesn't make you do or not do certain things. And the same way was in the life of Noah. that early father. There was something about this man. There was something about this dad. There were some characteristics inside of his being whereby he was able to rescue his entire family from death and destruction. Now, and I say this to especially attention to our men. It is a big deal what type of man you are, and it is a big deal what type of dad you are, because there are certain characteristics in a type of dad that does save his family from danger. And I want you to follow along in your outline, because in this life of Noah, there are at least three. There's so many more, but I want to point out three this morning that are so important for you and me to realize, especially when it comes to fatherhood. You know, there's a lot of men that say, well, it doesn't matter. You know, I mean, I raise them the best I know how, and however I want to raise them, that's the way I raise them. No, you was created by someone, and you was created by the Lord God Almighty. Amen? Every one of us have our being by God. You didn't evolve. You didn't come into existence 12.5 billion years ago. The Bible says God created the heavens and the earth, and God created man. God created the first man that would become the first dad. And on the descendants went, and then came Noah and his family. But what type of dad was Noah? What type of dad was he that saved his family from danger, disaster, and was such a significant dad that he saved his family from being destroyed? Now listen carefully. Nobody chooses for you or you or you or for me the type of life we want to live. You have the opportunity of choice. But here's what you also get as well along with that choice. You get the consequences of all your choosings. And in the life of Noah, there were some very significant factors about him, about his life. First and foremost, the dad that saves his family is a dad that has inner righteousness. Now, when you read the narrative of Noah and you look at his life, and one thing is understood, God never makes us be righteous apart from a part on our part. You have something to do. There is something that you and I, for example, every one of us chose to be in this house this morning. We chose to be in the house of God. Maybe somebody asked you to come, but you had to decide to get out of bed, get in the shower, find some clothes, get those on, get in your car, and travel this direction. Nobody made you choose, but you made a choice. In the life of Noah, his inner righteousness was a choice because he knew that there was a holy God in heaven. You know, when you look up the word righteous, there's a very simple and very humble definition. It really means holy in heart, observant of the divine commands of God. And that's who Noah was. The Bible says there's a reference on over in chapter 6 and on in chapter 7 that Noah did all that God commanded him to do. You know, he observed, he did what God commanded him to do. One of the first commands was listen to the command about destroying the world. I'm going to destroy the world. I'm going to destroy man. I want you to build a ship. What would you do if God gave you a directive to build a ship 475 feet long and about 50 feet wide and about 75 feet high? What would you do with that directive? The Bible says that Noah had an inner righteousness. He listened to God, and he did what God told him to do. You know, it wasn't enough for Noah just to think about God. It wasn't enough for Noah just to, reason about God. And let me think about this God who created the world. Noah was serious about what he did. Can I say this to every one of us as dads? It's a big deal if you get in this book or not. It is a big deal if you learn this word or not. Now, I know a lot of folks say, well, you know, I don't understand cultures and I don't understand this and this and this. I don't either. There's a lot I don't understand, but here's what. God wants you to put in practice what you do understand, what you do know. And when you look at the life of Noah, Noah lived in such a way in the midst of a dark and black and ungodly society. Listen, you know what he wasn't going to do? He wasn't going to let the culture dictate to him what he believed. I don't know about you, but here's something I have stood on, and I'll stand on till the day I have my last breath. Society does not dictate to me what I believe. Society doesn't tell me where to stand. This book tells me where I stand. And friend, dad, mom, all of us, you need to make a decision somewhere, draw a line in the sand with your children. Say, you know what? Everybody can do what they want to do, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We live in a wicked and an ungodly time. It's going to get worse. The Bible says it's going to get worse. But you know what Noah wouldn't do? He wouldn't let society dictate to him what he was going to believe. Now, yes, there's some passages in Scripture, and Noah wasn't a perfect man, and you can find those passages. But here's one thing about it. He believed in the living God, and he listened to the commands of God. He obeyed the commands of God, and God honored his life. Listen, you know, the world is growing more and more wicked. You know, you look around, and it is becoming atrocious. There'll be a rise in so many ungodly things as we get closer to the end of the age. There's a rise in twisted preachers, and I want to define what a twisted preacher is. A twisted preacher who preaches something other than the gospel of Jesus Christ, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If a preacher doesn't preach the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, he's twisted. Amen? There is only one plan of salvation. There's not five, there's not ten, there's not just any easy way to get to heaven. Jesus said, if you try to go up any other way, you're like a thief and a robber. And Jesus made it very clear, but in the life of Noah, listen, Noah made it very clear that he was going to have that inner righteousness. Now, let me ask you a question, dads. What are you believing? What are you choosing to believe in your deep core of your being? Your children are going to have challenges or already have challenges. And they're going to come to you and they're going to ask this simple question. Dad, what do you believe about? And they'll fill in the blank. Dad, what's the truth about? Then they'll fill in the blank. It is important for you to be able to stand up. And can I tell you one of the problems of so many kids that are getting lost in a culture of ungodliness? There's dads that don't care to stand up. I don't want to hurt my children's feelings. I wonder where that statement was when I was a kid. If I'd gone up to my dad and I said, my father, let me talk to you a moment how you ought to parent me. You have hurt my feelings. He would look at me and probably want to take me someplace to have me checked out. You know why? He's the dad. I was the son. Let me say this to every dad. You're the dad in the home. The children are not the parents. The children are not mom and dad. They don't want you to be their buddy. They don't want you to be their closest friend. They want you to give them a compass. They want you to tell them the absolute, holy, godly truth. But do it in love and respect. Don't blow them away. Don't tell them in wrath or anger. Let them know that you love them. Listen. Inner righteousness is this. As best I can, I'm going to obey God with what I say, with what I do. And you see, you know, you stop and think about it. Proverbs says this. Proverbs 10:2 says, treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivers from death. Can I tell you one of the problems? And friends, it's not just problems in the world. It's a problems in Christian homes, in believing homes. What about doing the right thing? What about doing the right thing before a holy God? Amen? What about saying to your children, that is wrong. That is wicked. That is against God's word. There's a lot of lifestyles in Scripture that are wicked and abomination to God. Adultery, fornication, homosexuality. And we live in such an age that, well, now we better be careful about some of those phrases. You do what you want to do, I'm going to obey God. I'm going to stand on what His Word stands. Love everyone, care for everyone, and be redemptive as best we can. But you see, you've got to decide, are you going to stand up? Are you going to be a man? Are you going to be God's man? Are you going to be a worldly man? You will make that decision. And you know the sad part about it is? Some of you won't even worry about it. Some of you say, well, I'm just not much on getting into the Bible. If I ask every dad in this sanctuary, are you reading the Word of God? Every dad ought to raise his hand and say, yes, I'm reading the Word of God. But if I ask you, dads, are you reading the Word of God? Could you raise your hand? Well, you say, I get mine at church. Okay. About 35, 45 minutes on Sunday morning. You see, Noah's life was a big deal to God. When everybody was dying, when everybody was getting ready to face death, his life rescued his family. You don't know what you mean to your children. You don't know what words of wisdom and insight your children listen to. I was telling Stephanie one thing one time, and she was talking to somebody else, and she said, it's like my dad said, nothing good happens after midnight. Now, that's not new with me, but I learned it, and because I heard my mother say it. I heard my dad say it. When I'd want to stay out and do something, I said, nope, you can't. Because nothing good happens after midnight. Listen, in the inner being of Noah, there was a desire to walk right with God. Now let me ask you, dads, what's your desires in life? You'll say, I want to make a good income. There's nothing wrong with making money. There's nothing wrong with making a lot of money. By the way, do you know the most godly people in the Bible were wealthy? Abraham, Solomon, listen, probably in our day and time, Warren Buffett would have been his servant. You couldn't compare the Solomon to anything in the world. Solomon had gold. Listen, he didn't even eat with a silver spoon because silver was inferior in his day and time. David, the king. And here's the point. You have to make a decision someday. And there's a dad that's been put in the home, and dads, you're there, and you've got to make some decisions. You've got to make some decisions. What am I going to teach my child as they grow up? Am I going to be a user-friendly dad? Or am I going to have a compass of serious, godly beliefs, and I'm going to protect my child? It doesn't matter if they like me when I say it or don't like me, because I want to say it and love to the Lord God and teach them in the ways of God. I want them to know that when I'm dead and gone, they look at my body in the casket, that their dad did the best he could to teach them in the ways of God. That ought to be the desire of every godly man. Amen? Every godly dad. Second of all, the dad that saves his family, not just inner righteousness, but that inner righteousness results in continually being true to God. It's amazing what I read sometimes in some preachers, what they believe and how they've thrown their beliefs out the window because of the pressure of society. We're getting more and more in our society where homosexuality is okay. Lesbianism is okay. Now, don't misunderstand me. I have some friends that I love that are homosexual. I had a lady who confronted me one time. She said to me very point blank. She was about right here to me. She said, Benny, I want to ask you a question. Will my daughter go to hell for being a lesbian? You see, when you talk to people like that, and she knew I loved her daughter. And I just told her, I said, bottom line, what you do with Jesus Christ. Because by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. When you become a Christian, you become a new creation. Amen? You have a new nature, a new desire, a new desire system. And I discussed with her some other things that were private, and I won't go into that. But listen, when you examine the times of Noah and parallel them to our times, it's amazing how similar. We're not getting more godly as a world. We're getting more ungodly. We're getting more heathenistic. Listen, you look at the times that we're living in. I just want to give you some interesting statistics. Did you know here's something that recently happened among the military? May of 2013, the Air Force base was ordered to remove a movie tribute to first sergeants because it mentioned the word God. In April of 2012, the Air Force removed the Bible from its list of items to be provided in Air Force approved lodging. February of 2012, the Air Force removed the word God from the logo of its Rapid Capabilities Office after receiving one threatening letter. That comes from the American Family Federation or Foundation. But you know what's happening? We're doing exactly what Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah. It's getting more and more and more ungodly. And that's why it's so significant, dads, for you to stand up. You know, more people are following their heart's desires, their atheist religion, agnostic religion, hedonism religion. If you don't know what hedonism is, simply means pleasure. There's a religion out there that's based on this belief. Whatever your body feels like doing, that's what you ought to do. Whatever your body feels like doing, just go ahead and do that. And you see, the Bible doesn't go into all the details of Noah's time, but here's what the Bible does say. Every man's mind was evil continually. Every person's mind but Noah. You know what? Society don't dictate to God. There is a God that's running this world, and there is a God that's going to close this world down someday. The Bible says heaven and earth will pass away. That's what Scripture says. The Bible says there's going to be a day that you and I as the church are, we're going to be taken out of here. It could be while I'm preaching on Sunday morning. Listen, if you come to church some Sunday morning and all of a sudden you look around, there's a whole bunch of people gone beside you, you know that the rapture has taken place and you've been left behind. You say, preacher, surely that's not true. That is absolutely the truth. It's in the Word of God. It is going to happen. That comes by the holy word of our Lord God. He is going to rapture His church. That's why you need to make it a big deal what you do with your life. You need to make it a big deal, dads, how you stand, what you believe. You need to make it a big deal to your children. You know, I can't even imagine not one family wanting to obey God. Not one family wanting to listen to God. Not one family wanting to do what God said. You know, true to God means you take Him seriously. Now listen very carefully, dads. Some of your good friends that you associate with, they don't care about their walk with God. But you know what true to God means? If my buddy don't want to walk with God, that's his business. I'm going to walk with God. If my neighbor doesn't want to walk with God, I love him, I care for him, but I'm not going to let him impact my life. I'm going to be true to God. I'm going to be devoted to God. And you see, true to God means you'll stand when society believes everything else. You and I are continually being in the minority. You know why? Because the world wants to live in sin. But you know what? Noah knew that it was going to matter. There's going to come a time, Dad, your child is going to do what they've seen you do. There's a TV show that Charlotte and I love to watch. We record it so we can watch it, and we watch it different times. It's called Pawn Stars. And the son said this about his dad. He said, if my dad's taught me one thing in life, and I thought, what's he going to say? My dad's taught me to go after the money. And I thought, what a legacy to have in life. Dads, what are you teaching your children? You know, it didn't matter how many turned away. No, it didn't. He preached to those people. He believed in God when nobody else believed in God. He worshiped God when nobody else worshiped God. And by the way, you say, well, I don't want to be in the minority. I guarantee you, Noah was tickled to death that he was in the minority in that day and time. Don't you think so? Amen? Somehow we believe God's changed. Somehow we believe that the standard then is not the same standard for today. The Bible says we have an unchanging God. He's unchanging and unchangeable. And you see, Noah believed God, had that inner righteousness. He remained true to God. And then thirdly, that dad that saves his family is a dad that believes the promises of God. Dad, let me tell you one promise of God that should shake every one of us up. Because it's going to happen. One promise, we must all give account before God. Amen? You say, well, I don't know if I believe that. Well, let me ask you to stop believing in the law of gravity. Because after all, sometimes it don't help us, it hurts us. If you don't believe in the law of gravity, it's still in motion. And you see, the reality is, Your belief don't change the promises of God. You know, in the life of Noah, you know, and by the way, Dad, your walk didn't start at fatherhood. You know, if you're a godly dad and you've got a godly heritage, think about all those people that invested in your life. Maybe a godly dad before you and a godly mother, or maybe a godly uncle, a godly aunt. You know, if you teach your children the ways of God, I think about not only my parents and my grandparents, and I think about Charlotte's family, how they've impacted not only my child's life, but my life. And the same way with us. But listen, Noah believed the promises of God. Now think about this for a moment. God told Noah to build a huge ship. What do you think the people would say if we started erecting a huge ark back here? And we was given a directive by the Lord to build a huge ark. Every one of you all are nuts. Would probably be the... Can you imagine all the insults, all the harassment, everything that Noah went through? And by the way, you know, it's sad that we live in a day that some dads are going to turn away from God because somebody hurts their feelings. Can you imagine how many times Noah's feelings were hurt? Can you imagine the people saying all sorts of junk and stuff to Noah? You got to be crazy, man. You got to be stupid. There's not going to be a flood. What's a flood anyway? Because it had never flooded up to that day. Don't you think that Noah found out that God does keep his word? He told Noah, you build that ark. And Noah just stood back as he watched God call all the animals. Listen, that should have been an indicator right there. Noah watched, and Noah realized this God keeps his promises. I want to say this, and I want to say this in love. Dads, every one of us are going to stand before Jesus and give an account someday. Every single one of us are going to stand in the presence of Jesus. You're going to give an account why you didn't want his word in your heart. Or you're going to give an account unto God how you just put his word in your heart and how you made such a difference in your child's life. You're going to give an account for spurning and turning away from his direction. You're going to give an account for not taking time with your children, not investing in your children's life. You're going to give account for being abusive. You say, well, I'm sorry, you can't get beside accountability. The same God that gave you a heart to beat on the inside of you is the same God that you're going to stand before in judgment. And you see, it's important you realize judgment day came, at least on the earth in Noah's day, and you know what he found out? Wasn't his money that saved his life. Wasn't his possessions. Think about it. What could you give to God that would impress him? It's estimated that there are 100,000 million stars in our Milky Way alone, just in our solar system, just in our galaxy. 100,000 million. What money could you give to God? Some of the best gold experts say there's $140 trillion worth of gold in the world. $140 trillion. What can you give God? So I'll give God a little money. You don't have anything you can... But you know what saves from that day of disaster and that day of danger and that day of... saves your family? It's when you as a dad say, you know what, we stand in this house. I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, but we're definitely not going to hurt the Lord. Isn't it amazing we don't hurt anybody else's feelings, but we don't mind to hurt the Lord by the way we believe things, is it? We'll believe things so ungodly and unscriptural and hurt the very heart of our God that created us. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah did what was right. You know, God's statement about mankind, it repented me that I made man. And you hear preachers say it, you hear me say it. There's a day this earth is going to be destroyed. Revelation chapters 4 and following gives you a detailed event of what is coming to happen. Jesus himself said, heaven shall pass away, earth shall pass away, but my word will not pass away. Jesus himself says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we'll all be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye." Jesus himself, God the Father, has said, righteousness delivers from death. I've been in a lot of hospitals and I've been in a lot of funeral homes. And sometimes I've found out why a person died. Now, they may have had an accident. They may have had this or that to happen to them. They didn't have a dad back there that protected them. They didn't have a dad who said, "There are some things that we don't do in this house." For years and years, I wanted a motorcycle when I was growing up. Some of you got one. And I tried to convince my dad with all that I had in me. But you know what he knew? "You'll probably die prematurely if I get you one." And I probably would have. You see, there's a godly dad that stands between his children and disaster. Disaster, you don't get my children. I'm going to put in them the Word of God. I'm going to put in them the truth of God. I'm going to put in them the ways of God. I'm going to teach them what to look for. Danger, you don't get my children. Death, you don't get my children. I'm going to build them up in the ways of God and teach them how to walk and how to be holy and how to be clean and how to be pure. You know, the Bible says, if you listen to your parents when you're young, you won't limp when you're older. Book of Proverbs. You know what that means? You know how when you're young, you want to try stuff out? You want to just do all sorts of stuff. And in older years, you find out you're hobbling because you did some of that stuff. You know, man, that was I had a good time doing it. Man, it was an awesome time. I had a great time. I've had to have four bones replaced in my leg, but it has a good time. How are you standing, dads? Every one of us, when our life is over, when your work on earth is done, you'll give an account for what type of dad you were. Will you stand up and be the dad? Will you stand on godly principles, godly truths, not hateful toward a world that needs Christ, but loving and redemptive? Say, "Honey, we love people, but we don't believe that. We don't practice that. We don't do that." How are you standing, dads? One of the things that a godly dad does, he delivers his children from disaster and from danger. I look back in the years of my life and I think, Father, if it wasn't for a dad who stood up and said, "You're not going to do that. We don't do that around this place," I don't know where I would have been. I grew up in one of the roughest areas in Middlesbrough, Kentucky. My grandmother told my mother, said, "Please don't move there." And she told my mother that back in the early 50s, or 60s rather. She said, "That's a bad place. Drunks all around." A good friend of mine, he was the son of a bootlegger. They always had friends over. And I'd see beer bottles out, and I'd see beer cans. And you know, when you're young, you think, "I wonder what that stuff tastes like." But you know what? Your kids know what type of dad you are. And I knew as a kid, I'll tell you one of the vices I had as a kid. You won't tell anybody else, I know. One of the vices I had as a little kid, I got to start chewing. And it was good. I got to liking it. And then I got to thinking, my dad will kill me. No, he wouldn't kill me, but here's what I knew. I had a dad that stood. I didn't understand everything he said. I didn't understand all that he believed in. But here's what I knew. He had gumption. He had some values. They were non-negotiable. Dad, let me ask you this in closing. What type of values do you have? Are there some non-negotiables? Do you need to come to Christ today? Maybe you need to come and just say, I take a stand. Why don't you do what the Lord tells you to do? And Father, we thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for teaching us your word. And Father, I pray this morning for that man, that woman, that boy, that girl that needs to come to Christ. I pray for that dad. Maybe where they're standing, they need to just simply repent before you. They need to come to this altar and make things right with you. One thing is clear, we're going to all give account as dads. What type of daddying we did. Father, have your will and your way in this invitation. In Christ we pray. Amen.